Welcome to the ScriptureNews.com podcast with your host, Scripture News editor Ray Pompa, and Backyard Chapel host and pastor Jason York.
Thank you for joining us today. There's a lot going on right now. And we have a lot of ground to cover today. So with me once again to sort all this out is my co-host, Jason York, and retired peace officer, Sonny Perilla. So I want to begin by saying this, and to all you listeners right now, and anybody within earshot of this podcast, Joe Biden is not your president. Joe Biden did not win the election. I know it. You know it. The media knows it. Congress knows it. The Senate knows it. Everybody knows it. Okay? Joe Biden is not the president-elect. What he is the usurper-elect. Now, in case you don't know what a usurper is, let me give you the definition, and the definition here is from the Oxford Languages. A usurper is a person who takes a position of power or importance illegally or by force. A usurper is an illegitimate or controversial claimant to power, often but not always in a monarchy. In other words, a person who takes the power of a country, city, or established region for themselves without any formal or legal right to claim it as their own. Now, did you know, you probably know this already, but Joe Biden won the so-called election by 13 million more votes than registered voters in the United States. Did you guys know that?
Oh, they were illegals. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to go through a few statistics here just to go over the stuff again. Some of this you've heard already, but just to get us up to date, refresh our memories. But former President Obama won the election in 2008 with 69 million votes. So we're going to do a little bit of math here. This was massive. When he won that election, he only won 873 counties to get that 69 million votes. And we're supposed to believe that Joe Biden won an extra 12 million votes on top of what President Obama did in his historic election, with almost half of the number of countries that Obama had, or counties rather. Now let's look at the simple math that makes it clear that there was fraud in this election. It's declared that President Trump won 74 million votes. And so no one's accusing him of voter fraud, right? Even the Democrats are saying that there was no voter fraud there. There are 213.8 million registered voters in the United States, and the voter turnout across the country was about 66.2%. This equals 141.5 million voters who voted this year. So what does that mean? We do the math, right? The answer is 67.5 million. That's how many possible votes remain. So how on earth does Joe Biden have another 13 million votes on top of that number? Someone please explain that to me, okay? A couple other things here. Let me just go through some statistics, okay? Just a few things that happened during the election, and just to catch up on it, to kind of give us the context of what we're talking about here. Of course, we had the hoax about the deadliest of COVID-19, okay? The push for universal mail-in voting, the Dominion voting systems, the intimidation of Trump supporters, the exclusion of Republican poll watchers, the stopping of election counting, brute ballot stuffing, the prevention of a meaningful recount in any of the contested states, the rush to certify the election, and the silence of the deep state Republican Party. Now, if you want sources, some of these sources that I'm quoting, you can get them from me later. I just don't have time to give you all the sources. Here from Real Donald Trump. Dominion deleted 2.7 million Trump votes nationwide. Data analysis finds 221,000 Pennsylvania votes switched from President Trump to Biden. 941,000 Trump votes deleted. States using Dominion voting systems switched 435,000 votes from Trump to Biden. Again, from Bill O'Reilly, Chinese whistleblower has confirmed that as many as 5 million fake ballots were printed in communist China and shipped to North America to be used in the 2020 elections. Democrats colluding with foreign governments to overthrow the U.S. government is treason. Okay? And I think I told you about the Antrim County already in Michigan. Court discovered a 68% error rate in the votes cast. Okay? There was an 81.96 rejection rate, almost 82% rejection rate in the votes cast. Okay, these votes were sent to adjudication. The adjudication and the security records are missing in violation of Michigan state law. Okay, so Michigan vote is false, fraudulent, phony, and crooked. Okay, the Georgia poll manager says voting machines arrived at her precinct unsealed, unlocked, serial numbers not matching the documentation, and the green bar-coded tags that are supposed to cover the doors covering the memory cards was broken. Okay. And another case from Pennsylvania, 47 USB cards were missing from the election machines in Pennsylvania. That's just to scratch the surface, okay? That doesn't even talk about the satellites, the Vatican, and other things that are just popping up today. Now, there is one sore point I have right now, and I'd like to address what happened with Vice President Pence. And I have a bone to pick with Newt Gingrich. Now, I have a lot of respect for Newt Gingrich and also for Vice President Pence. So I'm not going to, you know, say, I'm just going to leave it there. But I will say that I disagree with Newt Gingrich. And here's a tweet that he tweeted out recently. And he says, Vice President Pence was a profile in courage yesterday. He understood that his oath was to the Constitution, not to a party, policy, or person. He did what he believed was right, and he did so under enormous pressure. Whether you agree with his actions, his courage deserves credit. Now, this is what I have to say to you, Newt. When the Socialist Party generated a false dossier paid for by Hillary Clinton, the FISA court, in order to impeach President Trump, did they care about the Constitution then? When they tried to ruin the lives of Supreme Court nominees by calling them rapists and criminals, did they care about the Constitution then? When they shut down the country with draconian decrees and destroyed small businesses, did they care about the Constitution then? You know, don't talk to me about protecting the Constitution, when in fact, the very people that are trying to destroy this country don't give a rat's behind about it. I mean, sometimes, you know, like a good parent. If your kids play with matches, you have to smack them in the hand and tell them no, so they don't burn the house down. Okay, and looks like we've lost
who?
Jason, but he'll get back on soon enough.
Okay,
I'll leave it there. I have more things to cover here, but I'm going to give it to you, Sonny, and I don't know.
Okay, well,
go ahead.
Well, my take is that all this urgency from Nancy Pelosi and some of the socialist Democrats, and I'm not going to say just Democrats because Joe Manchin was talking today on on Bret Baier, and Bret Baier was pushing the issue about, are you going to stack the courts? Are you going? And he basically said, no, I'm not going to do that because that goes against the foundation of this country. But there is urgency and on the speaker to push this along, because Trump will pose a threat come 2024. And even before 2024, the fact that he's going to be weighing in. I mean, it's real simple that Joe Biden cannot fill Trump's shoes. Okay? He's pandered to the left, and he's pandered to the extreme left. And by doing so, they're going to want to be paid back for towing the line, meaning ballot stuffing, changing votes, demoralizing the police, allowing Black Matters, and so forth and so on, like mm-hmm. we've been seeing all along. Mm-hmm. So they are in panic mode. Now, we got to be careful because there's a lot of stories out there and about the laptops. And I heard earlier today about the Vatican,
mm-hmm.
and it being all the lights being out, and mm-hmm. and there's panic and pandemonium throughout the world, because this country is the actual doorway, for the lack of a better term, of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
If this country goes down, tyranny will spread throughout the entire world. So this has always been a beacon of hope. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say to all the listeners that have taken the time to hear our voice, I want to thank you, and I want to encourage you to pray for us, and pray for yourself, and pray for your family, because this is going to be a rocky road. We'll come out on the other side, I think, better as people of this country, because you could only lie to the masses for so long, and this has been going on for years and years. And politicians speak like the Native American Indians used to say, they speak with forked tongue. Okay. One side is saying something, yin and yang. And another thing that I think is interesting, and this is just my perspective,
mm-hmm.
I believe that the reason why elected officials are not willing to confront this issue, those who know what has happened and don't want to bring it up, is because, God forbid, American people in this country realize that these politicians stole our elections and they've been lying to us mm-hmm. all along about numerous issues that affect our daily lives. I think people in this country would rebel. And mm-hmm. I'm talking about not in a good way.
I think Jason's back online with us now.
I'm here.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead, Sonny. Did you want to
so,
finish?
So there's a lot of politicians that are biting their tongue because let's put it this way, the foundation is cracked.
Mm-hmm.
It's been cracked, just like anything that's supposed to hold. Let's say it's a vessel that holds water. You know, everybody's holding each other's water, and it's dripping and has a crack. This will shatter the foundation, okay? Mm-hmm. Because politicians that we know on the left and on the right, they've lied to us
mm-hmm.
on numerous occasions, but we've always been the sheep that moves along. What's different this time is people are not working. People are focused. People are hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing you want is to realize that you've been lied to.
Yeah.
On top of everything else.
Now, I have a lot more numbers to go through eventually here, but I want to point out that things that are going on right now, for example, Congress trying to impeach the president with only a few days left in his term, trying to invoke certain amendments and things like that. They are desperately trying to get him out before his term even expires. Why is that? I've got Jason York on the line here, and I want to know why they are so afraid of President Trump right now. Is there something that he knows? Is there something he's going to do? What are they afraid of? What do you think, Jay?
I believe there's multiple reasons. The first basic reason is that he's looking to run again in 4 years, and he knows that the U.S. people will vote for him in a heartbeat because the Democratic Party has nothing to stand on. That's why they're already looking at putting D.C. as another state, that Puerto Rico as a state, in order to flood the boxes, in order to overcome what's coming in 4 years, or even in less than that, in 2 years. In 2 years, we will overtake them in the Senate and possibly in the House, because people will see what the heck has taken place and what the Democratic Party has done. Now, on the backside, Trump has so much dirt. There is so much dirt on all of these people, including chief justices that have visited Epstein's Island and all kinds of other crazy things that are going to be coming out. And their whole point of shutting Trump up and silencing conservative speech is to cancel that, to try to prevent that from coming out.
Let me also say this. Talking about 2024 or not talking about it, between now and the inauguration, now Trump says he's not going to attend the inauguration. There are sources out there that are saying that he has a few more cards up his sleeves between now and the inauguration, and something big could still happen. People are still holding out, including myself, that he still will be the two-term president, and it won't be in 2024, but in 2020. And this is why they are so desperate to get him out of office right now, because of the very thing that you just said, okay? He still has certain things that he can enact. I mean, he could put this whole thing to a halt if he wanted to and give us a timeout. And some people are saying, sources are saying that he has things in place set up to do that. Some are saying that he's going to make an announcement. I don't know. They're talking about the emergency broadcasting system and so on. To communicate to us. So that's the other flip side of it. Any more thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on that is that, you know what, the problem with that, Ray, is that you have people in Congress that supposedly supported the president and all of a sudden are against the president. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, those people that have those people in the states, you know, I'm blessed with a guy like Ted Cruz. I know he's being attacked from left and right, but he's the one that stood up for truth and justice. Mm-hmm. And you have people like, you know, your people that you have admired for a while, Ray. Lindsey Graham.
That's very sarcastic of you.
I think he's a rhino. I think that, you know, he says whatever he has to say to keep his position. Yeah.
He flip-flopped and fooled a lot of people. Yeah. I think now the good side of this, and maybe this is the whole plan, but a lot of people, this had to happen in order for people like the rhinos in the deep state to be exposed. Okay? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have been exposed as traitors. I had no idea that Pence was going to do what he did. I was almost 100% sure that he was going to back up the president. And like I said in my earlier statement, and there's really no reason why he couldn't have done it. You know, these votes could have been recounted. That was within the Constitution. No reason at all.
Because I believe, because, and I hate to say it, but Pence is a career politician.
Yes, I know that.
Let's not forget, he's a career, he seems like a really nice guy, and he has been fighting for the American people, but he is a career politician, okay? He's one of those individuals that plays by the rules. He doesn't necessarily want to turn over the apple cart, take that extra step. But he is a career politician. He's a good career politician, but he's got to do what he's got to do. And for his own reasons, he has to sleep at night with knowing that he didn't do what he could have done. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the big picture is, if you think for a minute, if you just sit down and write and take a piece of paper and you write down issues that affect you, in a daily basis, like taxes and these, and trying to wipe out your Second Amendment and the sexual gender agenda that's being shoved down your throat, and you're you know that all that stuff has one thing in common, is that it's all led by the Democratic Party.
Yes.
So the Democratic Party, causes your the problems that are affecting you in your life are caused by the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They candy coat it. And that's why politicians like to drag their feet. Mm-hmm. They throw a bone out there and they'll tell you, oh, we plan on doing this, and they get the pulse of the people.
Yeah.
And then they decide if it's worth their political career to take that extra step. Here comes Trump, and he exposes it.
Mm-hmm. And here's the kicker: there is no reason why the Republicans, conservatives, in office, they definitely could have done something about this, but they chose not to. They definitely could have put up a fight in this election. There would have been a totally different outcome as far as the election was concerned. So, but they didn't do that. And these rhinos, these traitors, have been revealed. Now Trump knows who they are. And in my world, I never give up. I always believe that I believe it's not done yet. I think these last few days here, I think a lot of things are going to be revealed, and a lot of things are going to happen, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised, and I'm just hoping for that, praying for that. I want to go through something else here, just another little tidbit as we go through this podcast, okay? Here's another little fact. During the Fox News interview with Sidney Powell, in case anybody forgot, there's been a massive and coordinated effort to steal this election from we, the people of the United States of America, to delegitimize and destroy votes for Donald Trump, to manufacture votes for Joe Biden. They've done it in every way imaginable, from having dead people vote in record numbers to absolutely fraudulently creating ballots that exist only for voting for Biden. They've identified over 450,000 ballots that miraculously only have a vote for Joe Biden on them and no other candidate. If you look at Florida, where things were done right, you can see that is how the rest of the country should have gone. But they also used algorithms to calculate the number of votes that they would need to flip. And they used computers to flip those votes from Trump to Biden, and from other Republican candidates to their competitors also. This also happened also, they're claiming, in the Georgia runoff, okay? And they used the very same voting machines in this very same scenario that was happening in the general election. Again, here in Michigan and in Georgia, the number of votes for Biden far exceeded the number of votes for the Democrat Senate candidates in these states. But for President Trump, the Republican Senate candidate was very close to the president in votes recorded. This is typical in presidential races, that the down ticket is often carried by the presidential candidate. But for some reason, some very odd reason, which even Joe Biden can't explain, Joe Biden received tens of thousands of more votes than the Democrat Senate candidates. And that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. I don't want to take all the time here. We've got about 5 minutes before we take a break. So, Jason, did you want to chime in here? Are you still here, Jason?
I think we lost him.
Yeah, I see him. He probably, maybe I bored him to death. I don't know.
No, I'm here.
Okay, where'd you go, bro? Did you hear anything?
Well,
I want you to chime in on what we just what I just discussed. Assuming you heard what I said.
Yeah. Well, I'm mixed in the aspects of what I believe is going to take place and what I desire to take place.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we, as Americans, and anyone else that's listening to this anywhere around the world, in order to change your political landscape, we need to start somewhere. You know, not all of us can run for president or Senate or House or whatever. But mm-hmm. what you can start running for and doing is run for local office. You know, here in America, like, you know, you guys were talking about the stuff that's being taught to our kids, the 1619 Project, which is a bunch of bull. I mean, factually inaccurate, but yet we're still going to teach them because the Black Lives Matter crew deems it so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I believe that run for school office, run for PTA, you know, get involved. I think that as conservatives, we have sat on our laurels for a very long time. And I've preached on this before about how back in the 60s, the hippies, you know, they were smart. They all went, got educated and became teachers. And now they're polluting all of our children's minds.
Yep.
And that's just fact. It's the way it is.
Yep.
And the only way that we can change that is to get involved. We have to get involved. And I just pray to God that it's not too late.
Yeah, it very, if we as believers, you know, if we have a mentality of giving up, if we let our faith fall out, if we don't keep believing and doing something about it, then yeah, we're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to fail ourselves. We're going to fail God, because God has an agenda, and he has a purpose, and he has a reason, and he has a will. And I believe that his will, it can be, you know, his will can be done or not be done, you know, in heaven as it is on earth. But if we don't step up, you know, if we're going to be like the rhinos in the government, and we're going to turn our backs on God, then things aren't going to get done that way either. So we have to be focused, and we have to keep praying, and we have to battle to the very end. And I'm talking about to the very end, until the 20th and beyond. Okay, because this could drag on. Literally, this technically, theoretically, could drag on for 6 months or more. And there still could be a different income. I mean, income. I wish a different outcome. Ah, you found me out. No, but
I'm
part of the problem. No, but there might be a different outcome. You know, right. Even then. Yeah, go ahead, Sonny.
And can I want to add to that? And yeah. Also, don't follow false prophets.
Exactly.
Right? You have people who cloak themselves behind religion, who tell you, well, it's okay, be tolerant. No, I should be outraged, because you're sitting up there and you're trying to.
Okay, looks like we lost Sonny again.
All right, let me pick up on what he was just talking about.
Okay, I have a better idea. We're at 30 minutes right now, so maybe we should take a break, and we come back and we can continue this discussion if you hold that thought, Jason. Is that okay with you?
All right, I got it.
Okay, then we'll have it back by then. Okay, we'll be right back.
Psalms 41:5-9. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me.
You're listening to the Scripture News Podcast. If you enjoyed this program, please let us know in the comments section below. If you have a prayer request, just hit the contact button to the left of your screen. And let us know for a quick response. Thank you again. And now, back to the podcast.
Okay, we're back. Jason is back. Sonny's back. Everybody's back. So I think we left off with Sonny. Talking about yes. False prophets. So go ahead and continue there, my friend.
Yeah, my point is you have these individuals that work their way into our political powerhouse, and they claim they're religious, and they claim they believe in the Bible, and then you listen to their rhetoric, and it's real obvious that they're not. They're cloaking mm-hmm. themselves. This is what the devil does. He cloaks himself, okay? And they get it. They get in between. They get into our power structure, and uh-huh. they are pulled to the left, and they pull to the right. Like, just off the top of my head, Reverend Al Sharpton, or Reverend Jesse Jackson. Are you kidding me? These people have indirectly murdered more people in this country by giving them false sense of hope. They sell out their own people. They do it for profit, and they disappear. It's just like a vacuum. Mm-hmm. They just disappear right before your eyes. And the next crisis, there they are again with their money-grabbing, hungry rhetoric. And I'm going to just simply say that religion it's not a structure. It's not an individual who ordains himself as you got to follow me because that individual is the one that's going to lead you the wrong path. You know what? We all have morals, and you as a person can tell when something is not right. Okay? Mm. And we should not, this type of behavior, we should not tolerate. We should call it out. Okay? Because this is what they've been doing, and they've been taking our beliefs and using them against us. They tell us that we need to turn the other cheek, and that's not Christian of you, but they're actually using it to manipulate you. And they started doing the same thing with the president when they started calling him unpresidential. Mm-hmm. Uneducated, because they didn't like the words coming out of his mouth. He was speaking truth to power.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do to a person like that? You destroy him, or you try to destroy him. But you know what? I think a lot of us are awake. He had 88 million followers on his page. Do they believe for a minute because you shut down a platform that we communicate with, that we're just simply going to knuckle under and go away? What you do is you put anger in somebody's belly, okay? People want to lash out, and that is the dangerous part of what's happening. I don't condone violence, but when you push people and you keep pushing them, it gets to a point when they simply say, I have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that is dangerous. So they should think about it before they continue going down this road, because the more they lie, the more they will be exposed.
Mm-hmm. And with that in mind, you know, there's obviously a coordinated effort to silence the conservative majority.
Absolutely.
Okay. And if you think that's not the case, then what world are you living in? Okay, we are living in these times. These are the times that we and others have been talking about. We're in it right now. Okay, this is the turning point, at least for the United States, whether or not we're going to remain a republic, if we're going to remain free, you know, and not have our First and Second Amendments rights trampled on. We're in a fight. And me personally, and I would call, for example, a boycott of companies like Amazon. Just don't buy anything off their the stores anymore. Go to your local merchants. Patronize them, okay? That way, that builds up the economy as well. Get off these servers that that are in concert with these people. I mean, like, you know, Google, Facebook. Why are you still on Facebook? Why are you still on Twitter? Why are you patronizing these people that are taking away your very rights to express yourself?
Absolutely.
You know, and they're doing it, why? Just because they can. And this has been a coordinated effort. This is collusion. The very thing that these Democrats are accusing conservatives of these days is exactly what they are doing, and that is in their playbook. Mm-hmm. And concerning the COVID-19 epidemic, concerning the so-called riots on Capitol Hill, which when you look at the videos, you see something that I really am scratching my head about, and that is that when the crowd went up to the steps and went into the Capitol building, you can see the officers there opening the doors and ushering these people in to the building. There was no break-in. There wasn't any force. They were actually waving. They opened up the gates, waved them in, opened up the doors, and let them in. Now, what's up with that? Okay, there is something going on here that we're not aware of fully. And it's going to come to light, I believe, in the next couple of weeks and maybe even the next month or so. Fellas, what do you got to say?
Yeah, well, a quick history, a quick lesson in history, okay? This is not the first time this happened. You know what? What this does is it makes you dig into your history, your past. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that in 1874... Okay, you got to realize that in 1874, people weren't jumping on Uber. People mm-hmm. weren't getting in their cars. Mm-hmm. So when you went to a voting place, chances are it took you days to get there, and you probably had to camp out and wait. So what ended up happening was, this happened in Alabama in Eufaula, I think it's what it was called. While white supremacists took Republicans out of office and declared the Democratic Party a winner. Okay? Mm-hmm. This happened in history. Hmm. The members of the White League, which was the KKK, killed mm-hmm. seven black voters, and wounded 70 while driving away more than 1,000 unarmed black people at the polls. Mm-hmm. Okay? You got to remember, 1,000 people at the polls, that's a lot of people in 1874. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in attacking the polling place, this happened in Spring Hall, in Alabama. Mm-hmm. The League, which is the KKK, influenced the outcome of the election. They turned all Republicans out of office, and Democrat candidates took the majority of the office, and basically won the election.
Hmm.
This is not the first time this has happened. But you know what is this is the first time. That modern times that you cannot do it in a bubble. Everyone is seeing what's happening, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is the same KKK organization which throughout time with weak representatives of conservatives have allowed the Democrats to change the narrative, okay? Mm-hmm. They've swept us under the carpet, and most people don't understand what the heck is going on. People need to wake up and study their history.
Never let a good crisis go to waste. That's absolutely the Communist Manifesto. Hillary Clinton repeated that, I believe. And let me tell you something about the Antifa and all the burning of all these cities and all these criminal acts that they're committing. They're not conservatives. Okay? And they're being supported by the fact that the Democrats, or I say the socialist elites, are condoning them by their silence. Okay?
Absolutely.
Who else? You got Antifa, and all this, yeah, BLM, okay? What they're doing, I guarantee they're not conservatives, okay? And
no,
they're socialists. And then you got these, Occupy this place and that place. These people who are burning down cities, literally murdering people, and even threatening politicians, they're not conservatives, okay? So if they're not conservatives, let's do the math. You see, you have the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. Well, it's not the Republican Party, so what party do they represent? Okay?
All right. So let me interject a couple of things here.
Please do.
So, Sonny, you talk about the KKK.
Yes.
Okay, who instituted the KKK?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. The Southern
Democratic Party. Yeah. The Democratic Party created the KKK to deter blacks from voting.
Absolutely.
The Republicans voted for full rights for blacks to vote. All right. Next thing. Ray, you were asking about the people going to the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the National Guard was requested by Capitol Police for help. Now, people are talking about how come there was no security there.
Right.
But the Capitol Police did not get the National Guard. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Master at Arms, who is in charge, said no.
Right.
Okay, the Master at Arms is not an appointed position, so Trump had nothing to do with it. The Master at Arms is a voted position by Congress and the House. So he was voted in by those people. And he reports only to the House Speaker. So who's the House Speaker? Well, that would be Nancy Pelosi. So somebody should be asking Nancy Pelosi why the Master at Arms turned away the National Guard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let me say before. Also, let's not forget. You could look at every recording of President Trump at these rallies. Never once has he ever promoted violence. You cannot come up with anything that he's ever said that would instigate some sort of, quote, riot, unquote, at the Capitol.
Yeah.
This is why the Democrats are the party of liars and deceivers. Okay?
I agree 100%.
Whatever you do, whatever you say, they're going to tell you it doesn't mean that. Don't believe your lying ears. Don't believe your lying eyes, because whatever they say is not true. What is true is whatever we say they said. And for the life of me, I cannot believe that half of this country is going to give up their liberties and essentially start the process to be in a communist country if we don't stand in the way like Donald Trump has been doing for us for the last 4 years.
All right, so let me cut in here and let me I'm going to read something to you.
Sure.
Okay. And Sonny was earlier talking about false prophets and things like that, and I got really disgusted one Sunday. I go through on Sunday mornings and I go through all the channels and see the big preachers on the national stage and see what they're saying and what they're talking about. And I am utterly disgusted with the lack of truth and honesty of biblical foundational principles that they are speaking. So Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them in great numbers of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. Now, if your pastor at your church is not doing that, if he is not stepping on your toes and making you feel uncomfortable, your pastor is not doing a truthful, honest job of his duties, because he's preaching to what people want to hear and the numbers. And that's what makes me so ill, because in the end of days, when everybody stands before Jesus and has to lay claim to the things that they've done and said and everything else, and Jesus looks at you and says, "Depart from me, I knew you not," and then looks at your pastor and said, "What did you do?" So I talk about, you know, it's real good that we can sit here and we can talk about all the problems and all the issues and things going on. But I wanna bring up two stories, two biblical stories. And for those people looking for it, what I just read from was 2 Timothy 2-5. So another story I want to bring up is the story about three dudes that are called Meshach, Rashach, and Abednego. Okay? And they lived in the time of King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he put together a golden idol. Okay? And he said any nations and every language within earshot, okay, of the lyre, the harp, the pipes, all kinds of music. When you hear that music, you must fall down and worship that golden idol. And these three brothers, man, and I call them brothers because they were all in the same, like we're all brothers. And they told him, "There's no way. We ain't doing it. It's not happening." And he said, "If you do not, I'll throw you in the fiery furnace." And they said, "All right, well, then let's do it." So Nebuchadnezzar heated up the furnace to 7 times of what it was. So it was so hot that when they bound up the brothers and they threw them in there, that the two guards that he threw in there burned up. And then King Nebuchadnezzar was looking in there and he said, "Hold on a second. We only threw 3 guys in there. Why are there 4? So they opened the door and he called them out. And when they came out, not a hair on the hinge was singed, and their clothes didn't even smell of smoke. And he declared that their God was the true God, and they were to worship him. So you have the three dudes that stood up in the midst of death, because they even said, "If we get thrown in there and we burn to death, it doesn't matter. We're not going to bow to you or your gods, because the King of Kings is our Lord."
Yeah, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, if we had more people like that today, that's the kind of spirit that we need today to fight the enemy.
But that comes from a solid foundation. They believed and they knew what they believed. So the next one, right? Moses.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Moses out there wandering the desert, and finally they come to the Canaan, right? Where God said, "This is what I give to you. Go there, take it." Right? They've been wandering around in the desert forever. And he says, okay, so Moses sends in his guys to go check it out. Do you know how long they were? They were in there for 40 days. 40 days. You know, it wasn't just they went in and peeked in there. They went in there and they searched around. And then they came back and they said, this is the words. It says, they gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey." It does. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed him the fruit. They brought back some like grapes that was so big, it took two of them to carry on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
It said, but the people who live there are powerful and their cities are fortified and very large. Okay, so right then we're saying, holy smokes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then Caleb,
yeah,
he silenced the crowd and said, listen, we should go and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. So he stood up. He said, we could do this. God said we could do it. Let's go. But the guys that went with him said, oh, we can't do that. Those people are way too strong. They've spread out and they're going to attack us. They'll kill us. And this is the quote. Okay, it says, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes and look like the same to them. Okay, so we as Christians need to understand that America is the land of milk and honey. It has rescued more people around the world than any other country in history. We need to say, yes, we can retake this. Yeah, mm-hmm. It seems like, you know, what's against us is fortified and huge, and we can't ever do it. But we need to stand up like Caleb. We need to stand up like the three brothers and say, no matter what, we're going to stand for the foundation, the principles of what we are.
Yep, and I believe that's what God wants us to do in these last few days.
I
agree. Yeah.
And here's another thing. We need to understand. We need to take heart. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, because that's mm-hmm. what we're against.
Exactly.
We're not fighting people.
Right.
We're fighting a demonic force.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to come against that and stand firm against that. And people need to really understand and take a look. I put a video up that if your foundational principles are based in Christ, but your house doesn't resemble it, you need to burn your house to the ground and rebuild it to resemble that of your foundation. And if people don't know you're a Christian or what you believe on a daily basis by who you are or how you speak or how you carry yourself, then you need to really check your foundation and the house that it's built upon.
Right.
All right, I'm off my soapbox.
You know, I just want to say that York, when you mentioned milk and honey, I think you triggered your cat. I heard your cat meowing in the background.
Yeah, he's over here yelling at me right now.
Your cat is.
I apologize.
Your cat was basically agreeing with you. Milk and honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Preach, preacher.
Yeah, I was going to say to your point that this is exactly what President Trump is up against. You have to be able to discern who you're working with, who your friends are, and who you can trust. And this is what's being revealed this last couple of weeks. Now we know who to trust and who not to trust. And got to keep your friends close and Absolutely. Your enemies closer and know what they're doing and be wary of them. And you need to fight, you know. You need mm-hmm. to, you know, it's a spiritual fight, like you said. Go ahead, Sonny.
And we got to understand that the Socialist Party, which has embedded itself in the Democratic Party, planned all along to usurp the American people of their vote.
Mm-hmm.
This was part of their game plan. They've conditioned Republicans, conservatives, to take the high ground and not to call them out, because that would be unpresidential or undignified. And it's just, it goes back to conditioning. Once again, it all revolves about conditioning. If you let your enemy manipulate you and condition you, they'll get away with everything, because you become responsible for all the mayhem that they've created. They put it on your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to wake up. No more Mr. Nice Guy, pretty much. I hate to say it, but you can't be no more Mr. Nice Guy, because kindness is viewed as weakness when it comes to politics.
Yeah. And I think next time you need to put some headphones on that cat. We need to get that cat's opinion on what's going on.
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, he's killing me right now.
Yeah, you got your chickens running around too there, bro?
No, they're all in bed.
Are they?
And a cat's supposed to be in bed.
Oh, brother. Hey, you know what?
He's just sitting there. Hey, I wanted to say another thing real quick. Is that, you know, this whole thing didn't happen overnight.
Okay, no.
So absolutely for years not. And years, we have allowed this to happen. And I wanted to say, okay, change in your life is not an instantaneous thing. It is it's formed over a labor. And each step rolls into the next in order for you to accomplish that goal that you're driving towards. Okay, so that rolls into the local elections. So it not only in your personal life, but in your local communities. So start with something small, dog catcher, something crazy like that. It doesn't seem like something, but it gives you a step into local government. When I was in California, I was very vocal. I was in the Tea Party when the Tea Party first came out, and I can't tell you how many times I got escorted out of town hall meetings because I disagreed with California policy, which, you know, I couldn't live with, and that's why I live in Texas now. So, but, you know, I was exposed to so many crazy things that people just thought, well, it's just the way it is. And it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't. You know, we stand up and speak and live and do. We will be all right. We'll come through. I mean, I've read, you know, you've heard the story. I've read the end of the book and I know who wins. And that would be us. You know? Now, It may be a trudging through snow and sleet and hail in the dead of winter, but George Washington did it with his troops and they had no shoes. So If, you know, they did something like that, then I can do my part.
Well, you know, sadly, California has been a one-party system for a while now. And to your point, just so you know, Los Angeles County, who's more than 10 million people, make it the nation's most populous county, had 12% more registered voters than live ones. Some 707,000 votes. Also, California, again, San Diego County, had 138% registration, translates into 810,966 ghost voters. And you wonder why, how this happens to a state. It doesn't happen overnight, like you said. But now we're here, and we're in a one-party state, and that seems like it will never, ever recover from the damage that the Socialist Democrat Party has inflicted on it.
You know, California's gone from the golden state to the bronze state.
Yeah, or the paper state, you know. But the United States is going that way, too. Go ahead.
But once again, here we go again. It's just how much are the people willing to tolerate? It can flip on a dime if people actually are fed up. That's what it goes back to. You kick a person in the face and you tell them to shut up and take it. And it gets to a point where people don't want to take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, you'd like to believe that, Sonny. But the Bible talks about it. It talks, like I read in that scripture, the people like what they're telling them. You know, we're going to give you a stimulus check. We're going to give you a credit card for free. We're going to pay for your schooling. We're going to pay for this. We're going to pay for that. Well, shoot, to the majority of people, that sounds pretty good. You know, hey, but all right, I don't have to do anything.
But right now you have half of this country not believing it. And there's no way you can tell that otherwise because they've seen it for themselves. Half. This is why the Democrats are so desperate. Half of this country. You got to shut them up because they've woken up and now they're waking other people up. This is how you lose control. You can only play this game for so like I don't know who said it, and it was a brilliant person who said it. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing.
That's true.
So people are going to wake up because they haven't been awake. And now what happens is the high tech, the machines. I remember my grandmother telling me and my grandfather that machines were going to control our lives. Well, hello, here we are.
It's true. You know, okay. And socialist is great until you run out of other people's money.
Hey.
And I,
No, I was going to say on that great note, we're approaching an hour now, getting toward the end of our, we could probably go for two more hours. Unfortunately, if we do, we may, you know, end this broadcast and find out that we're already under martial law or something, you know, not even know it. So okay. if it's okay with you, didn't mean to cut you off. If it's okay with you, Sonny and Jason, I'd like to conclude this broadcast, or this podcast, I should say.
Sure.
And as always, we like our backyard chapel minister, Jason York, to lead us out in prayer.
I'll read something for you. It says, "Let every nation know that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, oppose any foe, to ensure the survival and success of liberty." John F. Kennedy, 1961. Mm. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord Jesus, and we ask that you would continue to put your hand upon our president and the situation at hand, Lord, that you would help us to heal our country, that you would show us the direction we need to go in, you would open our ears to hear your very words, and help us to speak those words that we need to speak. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you all the glory and honor. In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, fellas, and to our listeners, we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Scripture News Podcast. We appreciate our listeners and hope that you will join us again next time. Bye for now, and God bless.